This is from the people of Batak, and I heard that you're supposed to just wear it over your shoulder. I don't have any kind of pin or anything holding it up, and so I feel like I have to be like this the whole time. So if my shoulder starts to go up for a reason, that's the reason why. Okay. They said that I need some skill to be able to keep it up the whole time, so we'll see how I do. We've been going through a sermon series called Supernatural Community. And today is the last sermon for this particular sermon series. We've been talking about how when we talk about supernatural, we're talking about how we live in this natural world. And it's a natural world because in the natural world, it's filled with all kinds of limits. And the ultimate limit that we face is death. The only one that is above or beyond natural is our God. Our God who has no limits. He's the infinite God. Now, when we talk about our community, because of our relationship with God, because of how things started and how it was demonstrated in the very beginning of the book of Acts, we believe that we are a supernatural community. We are supernatural not because we have some power in ourselves to do something amazing, but it's because of our amazing God that's working through this community. And we've been going through the beginning of the book of Acts, chapters 1 and 2, talking about how this supernatural community began and how we need to be encouraged and strengthened by this history, by how our church started, by how Jesus' church started, and how we want to be encouraged to continue to live out this life as a supernatural community. And so today's title is the supernatural community. We've gone through a lot. We've talked about a lot in the first two chapters. And now today we're going to be talking about what did this community look like? Looks like I'm having some technical difficulties here. So give me a moment. Is it working? So I put this picture up just to say that we're not talking about supernatural as if we're going to have some type of power ourselves, but we're talking about how we have power from our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, this isn't working. Let me try one last thing here. Okay, it's not working. So, do we have the clicker here? Do we have the clicker? AV team, do we have a clicker? Can I get a clicker? No clicker. Okay. Then we'll do our best here. All right. Well, the title for today's sermon is Supernatural Community, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. All right, so why don't we turn our Bibles to that? We're going to have it on the screen, but then also, if you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 911. If you do have your own Bibles, I do encourage you to open it up just so that you could keep referencing it. We might not show all the Bible verses that I reference. So, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. All right. This is a reading of God's word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. Amen. If we can click through the next couple of pictures, when we think about Christianity in our world today, there's this question: is there hope for the church? Many of you may, or I should say, maybe some of you may have noticed some of the articles that came out of America, just different news articles that came out with titles similar to this, talking about the decline of the church, decline of the number of Christians in the U.S. If we could go to the next slide, it says church going and belief in God stand at historic lows, even though there's a growth in the mega church. Even the next slide, it says this: a third of Americans have quit church as attendance fails to recover pre-pandemic numbers. These are all different news articles that came out. This from the Gallup poll, from Christianity Today, The Hill, Fox News, The Guardian. These are all both secular and Christian news websites have put out these types of articles talking about how the number of Christians have gone down over the years. Next slide, it says, losing their religion. Why U.S. churches are on the decline. Now, my question is there hope for the church today? This article, and we could just pause on this article here, but this article was by a pastor named Tim Keller. Some of you guys might be familiar with a pastor named Timothy Keller. And he put out this article on February 5th of this month, 2023, and the title of it was American Christianity is Due for a Revival. And then if we could go to the next slide, many of you might be familiar with this picture that I showed a couple weeks back that talks about how 3 days after Tim Keller put out his article, that America is due for a revival, 3 days after this event in Asbury University in Kentucky happened, where there seemed to be a revival that was going on. Now, there are a lot of different types of other news articles coming out about maybe some of the craziness or some of the abuses that might have been seen during this Asbury revival. But for the most part, when you see the testimonies and things like that and the news articles that have come out, this lasted for 2 weeks. And Asbury University decided to close this particular chapel to the public and just to allow some of the younger people to keep coming because they're afraid of maybe the potential danger of so many people coming into this school and into the city where they were just bombarded with so many people. But the fact is that I think that God was doing something there. Timothy Keller mentioned that America is due for a revival, and 3 days later, something like this happens, and it was going on for 2 weeks straight. Is there hope for the church? Maybe with these articles, we're talking about America, but I'm talking about, is there hope for the church around the world? Well, the answer is yes. There is hope for the church. But it's not going to be because of how we are doing well or because of how we change as a people. Rather, there is hope for the church because of what God is doing. And we need to go back to the roots of what church is supposed to be all about. We need to have a deeper understanding of what church is supposed to be all about. We ourselves here need to be living out what church is supposed to be all about in order for this world to see that the church is actually something different from this world, that we are actually a supernatural community. And so the main idea for today is be devoted to the supernatural community. We're going to go through 3 points. Number one, the local church. Number two, the problem. And number three, the source. All right? The main idea again for today is be devoted to the supernatural community. And the 3 points are number one, the local church. Number two, the problem. And number three, the source. Let's talk about number one, the local church. And if we could go to the next slide. We're going to be talking about the characteristics of the first church, the early church from the book of Acts. And that's the passage that we read from. But before we dive into this, and just as you guys are observing this picture, I want to ask, what does it look like when a person, an individual, encounters God, really encounters God? What does it look like? I had a conversation with one of you here recently, and the person is a new believer. And what we usually see when a person first comes to believe in Jesus Christ is there's this excitement, there's this passion for the Lord. And some of you guys just came to believe in the past year, maybe the past 2 or 3 years. And you guys might think back on that time when you first came to believe, and there's this passion and there's this excitement when a person first comes to believe in Jesus Christ. Now, what happens when you get a bunch of these people that are passionate for the Lord, individuals, and you bring them together? What happens then? Well, what you find is a supernatural community. And that's exactly what we find in the book of Acts. We read last week, from last week's passage, that 3,000 were added to their number as Peter spoke about Jesus Christ and he declared the mighty works of God. Peter spoke about Jesus Christ, that he is Christ and Lord. God has made him both Lord and Christ. And he called all the people to repent and to turn back to the Lord. And so if we look to the next passage, the next slide, you may remember that this verse talked about how many people, they received Peter's word and they were baptized because they were cut to the heart. And they asked, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. You will be forgiven of your sins and you will receive the promised Holy Spirit. And so a lot of them, they did receive his word. They repented and they received the forgiveness of sins and they were baptized and they also received the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the first things that we find with the early church, if we could go to the next slide, is that there is this characteristic of repentance. What we should find in churches all around the world are people that fill the churches with a heart of repentance. And what does that mean? It means people that continue to confess that on their own, they are not good enough. That they continue to fail God. That there are many times that we fall into our sins. The church is filled with people that aren't perfect people. The church is filled with people that are sinners that continue to turn back towards our God. That's the idea of repentance. It's turning away from what we believe to be the best thing for us or what we believe is the answer for our struggles. We turn away from those things and we turn to God and we say, through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he's done for me, I believe that I have everything I need in my God, in my Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this continual heart of, I believe that I'm not good enough to save myself on my own, and I need my Lord Jesus Christ. It's this continual confession of saying, I need Jesus in my life. Every single day, I need Jesus. All I need is Jesus, every single moment of the day. The church is first of all characterized by a heart of repentance. And what that means is that we are going to have people, we should have people that have a humble heart. A heart that does not boast about themselves, but a heart that says, anything that I've accomplished in this life is because of my Lord Jesus Christ. He has given me the grace, he has given me his love and his strength to guide me through anything and everything that I've experienced in my life. It's because even before I was a Christian, God was working in my life. And I give all credit. I give all glory to God. And the church needs to be filled with these types of people. Actually, that's what the church is. That's what we find in our passage today. If we could go to the next slide. It says, and they devoted themselves. This is the beginning of our passage today. They devoted themselves. And I want you to know that the word devoted is a key verb in this whole passage. The idea of devotion, all right? They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And so we're going to focus on these four things. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayers. But actually, we're not going to put a lot of time into these ideas today. We're going to give a little bit of time to these. But in our next sermon series, we're going to spend 1 week, one Sunday, on each of these things. And we're going to go a little bit more deeper into what we mean by being devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Today we're going to just do an overview, and then starting next week we're going to dive a little bit more deeper into that. And so let's go back to the next slide. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and I don't have the verses on the screen for this, so we're going to just keep it on this slide. But if you do have your Bibles with you, this is where I would want you to look to your own Bibles. Okay, again, we're looking at Acts chapter 2 in verse 42. Let's talk about the devotion to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. And if you look at verse 43, verses 43 to verse 47, they give a little bit more information about those four things that are mentioned. And then if you actually look in the next chapters of the book of Acts, it also gives examples of what was going on regarding these four things. Right? So, verse 43 says this, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The apostles were particular people in history. They were the ones chosen by our Lord Jesus Christ. And they were given authority to speak about God's word, about God's truth. Jesus was the one that directly taught them, especially through the Old Testament, about how the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. And God gave them power to be able to do miraculous signs and things like that. And so these apostles were particular people in history. We don't have apostles like them today. But what they did was that they were actual witnesses of Jesus Christ dying and rising again. And they wrote down their testimony. They wrote down the things that they learned, and they wrote down what we're supposed to learn from that. And so when we talk about the Bible, especially the New Testament is what these apostles, or people that were very close to the apostles, wrote down so that we can learn from their testimony, so that we can learn from their teaching. And so when we talk about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, we're talking about looking to God's word. Being devoted to the Bible, being devoted to Scripture. But not only that, there's this aspect of teaching that's going on, an explanation of God's Word. And so when we're talking about a devotion to the apostles' teaching, we're also talking about being devoted to the preaching of God's Word. And so every church should have a time of preaching. And the time of preaching should be dedicated to explaining God's Word and to explain how this also points to our Lord Jesus Christ and how we need our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the apostles' teaching. Now, I wanted to just explain a little bit about what did the apostles teach. It doesn't say exactly here, but if we were to do a little bit of deduction, then we know from different parts of the Bible that the disciples probably taught about Jesus' teachings. And so we have the Gospels, the four Gospels in the beginning of the New Testament. They probably also talked about his death, his life, all the miracles that he performed, the ways that he ministered to people. They talked about his life, but then they probably also talked about his death. And they also probably talked about his resurrection. and what that means for our lives today. They probably talked about what it looks like for a Christian to believe in Jesus Christ and how that affects our lives today. And so we find in the New Testament all kinds of teachings about what it looks like to be a Christian that believes in Jesus Christ. What we also find in the Bible, and especially in the four Gospels, is that Jesus referred, or even the Gospel writers, they referred to the Old Testament many times, talking about how Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. And so what we would find is that the apostles probably taught a lot about how the Old Testament scriptures pointed to Jesus Christ. So that's the devotion to the apostles' teaching. The church, the supernatural church, continues to be filled with God's word week after week. We need to be devoted to the preaching of God's word, because not only are we allowed to read God's word ourselves, but we also have the opportunity every week to hear someone explain the scriptures. If there's a church that's not necessarily explaining what the scriptures talk about, then we need to be really clear as to what they're talking about to make sure that we go back and compare what God's word says to what this person is saying, to see if what this person is preaching is correct. Every church should be devoted to God's word and to the preaching of God's word. The next thing is that there is a devotion to fellowship. Again, I want to read from verse 44 to 45. It says this: all who believed were together and had all things in common. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Okay, the next thing is that they were devoted to fellowship. The basic idea of fellowship is sharing. Sharing. And so in the Bible here, it talks about how the people had all things in common. We also find later chapters in the book of Acts that people were selling things. They were selling their property. And I'm not saying that you need to sell your property. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of people in the past, they had this burden. They had this calling. They had this desire to sell their property to help out the people in the church. The basic idea of being devoted to fellowship is this idea of, I care enough for those people that are in my church that if I see that somehow they are struggling in some kind of way, financially, emotionally, in some kind of way, if I see them struggling, I'm going to do what I can to help them. That's the idea of being devoted to fellowship. And what that has turned into these days, when we talk about the word fellowship, is that we want to have a closer relationship with each other so that at the least, I know what's going on in your life. And so I want to ask a question. How many of you can look around this room and say that at the least, you know people's names? How many of you can look around this room and say, I know not only their name, but I know some of these people's struggles. I know what their prayer requests are so that I can pray with them. I can pray for them. When we don't see each other during the week, I still have them in my mind because I care about their needs. That's what a supernatural community is like. That's what the people during that time were doing. They were looking around and they were seeing the needs of the people, and they thought, I want to do something to care for my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Fellowship is about caring for one another's needs, both physical and emotional, spiritual and mental. It's a community that practices acceptance and care for one another. The next thing is devotion to the breaking of bread. Now, there's some debate as to what this is talking about specifically. Is this talking about communion, like we practice once a month? Or is this talking about just people eating together? Well, let's look at verses Let's look at verse 46. It says, "And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Okay, the way that it explains it right away in the passage is that there is more of an idea of just people eating together. Breaking of bread means eating together. But the practice in the church, in the early church, was that they would get together almost every single day. They would get together every single day, and whenever they would eat together, they would actually practice communion together. And so it's not either or, actually it's both. Now, the church has developed, and there's a certain way that we practice communion today, and there's a reason for that, and if you want more information about that, I can explain that to you. There's a reason why we practice communion the way that we do today. But the thing that I want to focus on with this idea here is that it's not just enough. It's not enough for me to care for someone and look at their need and say, "Hey, let me give you some money." Breaking of bread is the idea of actually sitting down together, sharing a meal, and spending time with each other. Actually getting to know a little bit more about each other. It's about intimacy. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you get close enough with someone, you start to find out some of their not so great characteristics. When you get closer to someone, you begin to find out how that person sins. And you might find out how that person sins against you. And so, for some reason, now I'll explain the reason. But for some reason, whenever people get closer to each other, somehow what ends up happening is that they want to stay away from each other. Right? And maybe the best examples come from a marriage. Okay, I'm kind of saying that as in a funny way, but those of you that are married, you guys kind of know what I'm talking about, right? You want to get closer and closer, and you do get closer and closer to each other. But as you find out more and more about each other, and some of the wonderful parts, but also the not so wonderful parts, you begin to see, and especially if people aren't Christian, people want to keep their distance from each other. Breaking of bread is about intimacy, and we continue to practice intimacy within the church, and that even if we end up sinning against one another, even if we end up hurting each other, every time we have communion and we remember that Christ's body was broken, we remember that we are Christ's body and that we should be united, that we need to continue to draw closer and closer to each other, forgiving each other just the way that Christ forgave us, and we need to be growing together, being focused on how we can help each other, how we can pray for each other, and really loving and caring for one another. That's what a supernatural community is like. And the last one is devoted to the prayers. This is what it says in verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Okay, it says they were praising God. Now, when it talks about they were devoted to the prayers, it means that they were gathering together. And one of the commentaries that I read talks about how it doesn't say, "and they were devoted to prayer in general." But they were devoted to the prayers, which could mean that they had certain prayers that they recited. They were prayers that were maybe written down. And so sometimes people come up and they have a prayer that's already written down on their paper and they read it out. And some people say, "Oh, that's not genuine." No. Even if it's written down, it could be a very genuine prayer. When we read our confession, our prayer together, it could be a genuine prayer as we read it together, even though it's a prepared prayer. And yes, of course, there's room for open prayer, for spontaneous prayer. Of course, there's room for that as well. But the idea is that they were gathering together and they were looking to the Lord together. They were praying to the Lord together, and they were praising God. Every time they came together, they would praise God, and they would look to the Lord together, and they would be repenting, continually turning back to the Lord together. And they were devoted to these things. Again, the main verb here is this idea of devotion. And so when we see that, it says that they were having favor with all the people, and they were adding more and more to their number day by day. They were gathering together, and they were committed to these things. And so what defines a supernatural community is, of course, what Scripture tells us, but what Scripture tells us is that Christians are devoted people to the church life because they're devoted to the Lord. The church life and this community, we need to be devoted to it. There is a commitment, this idea of commitment. Anytime I talk about church membership, I talk about how we need to be committed to the church. We want to commit to you as a church, and you need to make a commitment to the church. And we have that commitment to one another so that we can grow together. That's what a supernatural community is about. As we see how Jesus Christ is committed to us, we want to be committed to one another here. Even if you're only here for 3 months, even if you're only here for a few weeks, we want to be committed to this local church community, this local church body. It's not good enough for you to be just a committed Christian, not committed to any church. It's not good enough for you just to be a committed Christian by yourself, because that's not how Jesus designed the church. The supernatural community is one that is committed, that shows a devotion to truth, to what Jesus did. It's a community that is devoted to caring for one another. It's a community that's devoted to intimacy and growth and forgiveness and healing. It's a community that's devoted to coming together and praying together and looking to the Lord together, giving thanks and praise to Him. That's what a local church should be all about. Any church that you should go to needs to be committed to these things. And the result will be that there will be witness. Just imagine, any unbeliever that comes into that kind of community that's devoted to the standards that's being taught, to a community where people are caring for one another, that are showing love and accepting one another. When an unbeliever comes into a church where people experience the intimacy and forgiveness and growing together, where an unbeliever comes in and experiences the presence of God as we pray to God and we praise Him together, it will be a witness to them that maybe God is actually real and Jesus Christ actually did die and rise again. Next slide. That's what the church should be like. But here's the problem. The fact is that even if that's what the church is supposed to be like, that's not what a lot of people experience. There's many of us that would say there's a problem with the church. I'll tell you straight up, I've met many Christians and many missionaries even that have lost hope in the local church. Missionaries, I want to speak to you specifically. There's a lot that can be criticized when we talk about the local church. But we want to make sure that we ourselves are demonstrating to the local churches in the areas where you are working. We want to demonstrate that you as a missionary are devoted to a local church as you do your ministry. This is so important. But I'll tell the rest of us here. Many missionaries, many Christians have lost hope in the local church. Because the fact is, the church has a lot of problems. It's true. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? What are some of the problems that we face? Let's go to the next slide. Let's talk about the teaching. We're supposed to be devoted to teaching. And there's someone that's teaching up front and everything, and maybe they have a chalkboard or slides or anything, and they're trying to make clear what the Bible says, but man, it's just like calculus or differential calculus. I think that's what the picture said. It's like Greek. Like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to listen to this sermon. I want to be devoted, but I have no idea what the pastor is saying. It just doesn't make sense. Or sometimes we say, the pastor is just so boring. Every time I come into the church, I just want to fall asleep. Or even if I don't want to fall asleep, I just end up falling asleep. By the way, that might be a problem with what time you go to sleep the night before. But that's something else to talk about. But sometimes it might be the case that the pastor is actually preaching something wrong. They're not actually teaching what the Bible teaches. And sometimes, even though what's taught is correct and good, but man, the people in the church, it doesn't seem like they're actually listening to what the pastor says. And so you just find a bunch of hypocrites in the church. That's one of the complaints and one of the issues that we might find in the church. Let's go to the next slide. What about with fellowship, where we're supposed to be caring for one another, where we're supposed to be accepting one another? But sometimes when people come into the church, especially our church, where we have people from so many different backgrounds, where sometimes it's difficult to understand each other because the accent is so strong. Sometimes they talk about something and you have no idea what they're talking about. It's so easy for people in our church just to keep a distance from one another and just to have my own little fellowship with God, and then the service is over and I'm out of here because I want to, but it's just so hard to do that with people in the church. But we don't have to be in an international church to experience this. You could go to any church and you might experience the same thing, where you go into a church and you feel like nobody cares about you. You feel like you're all alone. We got one review on our Google Maps where it said, you know, it's a great church. And I went a couple times, and all those times, nobody talked to me. That's our church. That's on our Google Maps review. Is that our church? I would say yes. But that's not what a supernatural community is supposed to be like. But it's true. One of the problems that we face is that people don't feel accepted. People don't feel like they're being cared for. People are being ignored. We might just stick around with people that we're used to and never talk to someone that we don't know. Every single week I say, if there's someone that's sitting next to you that you don't know, actually I don't say every week, but if there is someone that you don't know, get up and talk to them. Introduce yourself to them. Meet someone new during our in-service sharing time right before our prayer time. Do you do that? Let's go to the next slide. Breaking of bread. Okay, if you guys know what this is, great. If you don't know, it's stinky tofu. Right? Are you willing to break stinky tofu with one another? Okay, that's not the main idea. Are you willing to actually take some time away from what you would normally do after the Sunday service is over and be willing to spend time with other people? But what if I don't like what that other person likes? What if I just want to go eat? I mean, Gongguan has just so many different wonderful restaurants here. I just want to go eat something there, and maybe some people at the church don't want to eat that. There are all these reasons that we might come up with. But remember, it's also about intimacy, right? What if That person is just annoying. Or I've tried to build a relationship with that person before, and that person hurt me, Pastor. I don't want to get close to that person again. We're supposed to be a church of forgiveness, a church that reconciles. That's what a supernatural community is about. But yeah, things happen in church because we're all sinners. We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to end up hurting each other or misunderstanding each other in some kind of way. And I don't mean just because of the accent. Things will happen in the church. And we're not trying to promote people. We're trying to promote Jesus Christ. And we're going to make mistakes. And that's why we need to be focusing on forgiveness and reconciliation. But that starts with a commitment to want to get to know each other on a deeper level. It starts with a desire to become more and more closer to one another, to have that sense of intimacy. And the next slide. We need to be devoted to prayers. But what are some of the issues there? Sometimes you go to a church and you're like, what if that's just not my worship style? Like this, right? You go to a charismatic church. Our church is not like this. We don't have all these lights and everything. And people are like raising their hands and like screaming out and they're saying amen and these kinds of things. And you feel like, oh man, that's just not me. I can't have fellowship with these people. I can't worship God with these people. Aren't we all one body in Jesus Christ? Whenever we celebrate communion together, isn't that what we're talking about? Sometimes we go to a church and we talk about the songs that they sing. Oh, I'm just not used to that type of song. Oh, I'm just not used to that type of way of praying. And we have a problem with all of these things. And we feel like we're not able to devote ourselves to that church. Just at least it's the place that I can go to, but I can't really get involved. It's just not my style. Some of us here will leave Taipei and we'll go somewhere else in this world. And maybe in that particular part of the world, there's only one church there. But it's not the kind of church that you're used to. You see, I'm not just talking about be committed and be devoted to this church alone. I'm saying wherever you go in this world, because I know most of us here will leave Taiwan at a certain point. I'm saying wherever you go, be committed to the church that you're at. But yes, there are a lot of issues that come up. And if we go to the next slide, perhaps the reason why there are so many problems in the churches all around the world, and even in our church, whenever we ask these questions, whenever we talk about the different problems in the church, it's probably because we're expecting something from the church. We're expecting the church to be committed to me, and I'm more focused on my own needs and how the church needs to serve me rather than how I am filled by the Holy Ghost, rather than how I am encouraged by the gospel that I have Christ's love enough to go out and be a servant to the people in the church. You guys hear what I'm saying? The focus, a lot of times, the reason why we have problems with the church is because a lot of times, either I feel like I'm the one that's in the right and the church is the one that's in the wrong. I want to have the control to be able to say that because my theology is correct, I need to make sure that the church's theology is correct. And that's why I cannot be at this church. I cannot be committed at this church. Now, it's not to say that if I'm preaching something wrong here that you cannot tell me that my theology is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes what we do is that we criticize the theology and then we feel like we can't be a part of that church and we cannot commit to that church. And actually what's going on in our hearts is not a real concern for theology. What's going on in our hearts is our own self-righteousness, thinking that we are better than the people in the church. Sometimes what happens is that I am searching for some type of community. I'm searching for friends. I'm searching for people to care for me. But what ends up happening is that I want people to notice me. I have my needs to be accepted into this community. And if people aren't doing that for me, then forget this church. I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to do my own little thing with God and then I'm out of here. You see, if we go through each of these things one at a time, what we'll find, if we really go and dig a little bit deeper into your motivations, what we might find there are selfish motivations, like a desire to control, a desire to be accepted, a desire to be successful in serving people, a desire to be a person that's just right and holy before God, not really thinking about other people around you. And what that leads to is a church that's not supernatural, but a church that's only guided by the strength of the people in the church. We end up focusing on the people, and in actuality, we end up focusing on our own hearts and our own needs rather than looking to Christ. Where do we find the type of strength and the encouragement to actually live out this supernatural community? If we could go to the next slide. The main idea has been, let's be devoted to the supernatural community. We talked about the local church and what it's supposed to be like. We talked about the problem and the complaints and things like that that sometimes we may feel or we may have felt in the past. Now we want to talk about the source. What does it say in the next verse? It says in the last verse. Next slide, please. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. You see, just with these two words, praising God, what it shows us is that the people were devoted to coming together and continually looking to God, focusing on God. Remember what just happened right before this passage? Peter was speaking about the mighty works of God. Right before we talked about Peter speaking about the mighty works of God, we have a bunch of people where the Holy Spirit came upon them and they started speaking in a bunch of different languages. And what were they doing? They were talking about the mighty works of God. And the way that Peter explained it, not in just this crazy speaking of tongues where people didn't understand what people were saying. The way that Peter did it in a very natural, in a very logical way, was to explain the mighty works of God in this way. Jesus Christ actually died. You killed him. By your sin, when you focus on your own heart and you reject what God is doing in your life and you reject that so that you start focusing on the people and you start focusing on yourself, you sin against God by rejecting God, by saying, I don't need to look at God. I don't need what he gives to me. I need what the people can give to me. I need to hear good preaching. I need to see good people that care about me. I need to see these things in a church for me to be devoted. And when we have this kind of mentality, we sin against God. And what Peter is saying, by your sin, by your rejection of God, you have killed Jesus Christ. But I want you to know, Peter says, that this Jesus Christ rose from the grave and God has made him both Lord and Christ over all. And the people were cut to the heart. And they began to say, we realize that we've been turning away from God. We realize that we rejected Jesus Christ and we are in the state that we're in. What should we do? And there you see that heart of repentance. There you see that desire to turn back to the Lord somehow. If we could go to the next slide. You see, the supernatural community is not supernatural because we have some kind of power in ourselves. In actuality, we're kind of like this picture. We're all filled with darkness. We have a tendency to betray God and to wander away from the Lord. But as a people of God, one thing that will never change is that there's this light that's shining from behind us. And that's the gospel that we're talking about. You see, Jesus Christ, even though we sin against him, even though we reject him, but Jesus Christ, he will never reject us. He stays committed to us. He is devoted to his people. And that's what led him all the way to the cross. And so that allows us, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, that allows us to have a connection with our God so that all the things that we're looking for in the church, that we are able to receive that from our God. Not expecting other people to give it to me, we receive it from the Lord, and that encourages us and strengthens us, and we're invigorated. We're strengthened, and whenever we come together, we share that love and that power through the Holy Spirit. We share that with one another. That's what a supernatural community is all about. So, brothers and sisters, if we could go to the next slide. Whenever we come here together, the goal is to look to Christ. That's why we sing the songs that we sing. That's why we do the liturgy that we do, all the reading of scripture that we do during the service. That's what I'm trying to do even through the sermons, to point back to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus Christ can give us all that we're looking for. He's the source of our strength, our courage, our love, the ability to forgive and to reconcile. Because that's what Jesus Christ does for us, and he's committed to us. He's devoted to us in this way. So let me give a couple just practical steps. Right? So if we could go to the next slide, and just some practical steps to start this process. First thing, of course, is to just show up and to stick around. Be committed to this. I want to give a specific call to those that are online. I know some of you have been online because there are real reasons that you couldn't come in person. That's okay. I completely understand. But sometimes we go online because we're lazy. Sometimes we go online because we don't feel like coming to church that day. Show up. Show up. This is how we can be a supernatural community together. And for those of you that are here, stick around. After the service is over, hang out in the fellowship hall. Have time of fellowship together. Get to know other people. Invite each other out to lunch. Eat something together. Stick around. Because when we do show up, we're able to point each other to Jesus Christ again. Second thing is, make a commitment. Become a member. We're going to start our membership class next week. This is your opportunity to make a commitment. And I'm not just saying, become a member and then you have to serve and everything. No. The only requirement for membership is that you believe in Jesus Christ. That's the only requirement. Become a member. Make that choice. Next thing is, in terms of being devoted to the apostles' teaching, being devoted to preaching, after the sermon is done, ask questions. Interact with the sermon. You could send me any type of question. I'll answer. I'll do my best to answer your questions. What about being devoted to fellowship? Just start with saying hi to someone. Maybe try to get to know them. And being devoted to prayer and being devoted to the breaking of bread, really take seriously when I say take some time to get to know each other, ask each other prayer requests, share with one another prayer requests. Really take that seriously and share your prayer requests with one another and make a commitment to pray for each other during the week. But the source of all this is going to be coming from looking to our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord together. And with Christ's power supporting us from behind through the Holy Spirit, let's be that supernatural community. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much. Because, Lord, it's just difficult sometimes for us to try to be a good church, try to show a good face to people out there. But, Lord, we come before you now and we admit that we're not able to do this perfectly. We fail in a lot of ways. Lord, would you have mercy on me? Would you have mercy on our church here? Lord, we don't even have to talk about other local churches. Just, Lord, would you forgive us for not depending on you to be the church that we need to be? Lord, may you shine your light through us. May you do your work. And I thank you, dear Lord, that you are doing that work through us. I thank you, dear Lord, that it's not dependent on our own strength, but it's fully dependent upon what you're doing through us, through the Holy Spirit. So we thank you, God, and we look forward to how you will continue to shape and mold our church for your glory. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.